This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 93. Tom, I like your use of colours today.
Thanks. I've gone bold. I'm looking after a sick little person, so she needs some extra cheer. Hence why a fluoro pink jacket and an Ariana Grande shirt.
She's upside down.
That's the cover of her album, Sweetener. Her world was turned upside down because of the events that took place.
Yeah. Gee, I think that was a couple of years ago now.
Just over 2 years.
Time goes by so quickly.
In that time, she's had one ex-boyfriend commit suicide, well, drug overdose, and then nearly married Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
That was an odd one.
Yeah. And then he went on to Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, he's done well. He must be packing.
There has to be something, right? It's just...
I don't get the whole junkie chic thing.
No. He reminds me of a blend of people. Like I can't... He's one of those people that you can't quite... put your finger on who he reminds you of. It's just a blend of people.
Yeah. Odd cat.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Mm.
Now, we will be talking about Fear the Walking Dead later on.
Yes.
I got a couple of shows I want to talk about. One that I wasn't even aware, I'll explain it when we get to it.
Okay.
And a fun quiz.
Oh, fun is good.
Where I literally picked names out of the air and then did research on them.
All right.
I think you'll be okay with this one.
Okay.
It's not going to stump you.
Sounds good.
Do you want to get into the news first?
All right. Firstly, I need to pre-warn you that I have a lot of news today. More than usual. Disney's D23 happened over the weekend and there is a bucket load of news. We're going to get to that in a moment.
Through a lot of stuff.
Yes. Mm. Something that happened just after we recorded last week was they announced that Matrix 4 is happening.
Mm.
What?
Mm, huge. What they said, and I'm pretty sure this was a statement from Warner Brothers themselves, they used the term, Matrix Universe.
Mm.
So to me it sounds like they want to tap into this not just as a fourth movie.
I think you might be right because it's not a spoiler, but at the end of the third one, I don't know how Keanu or Carrie-Anne Moss can come back.
But they're going to, and I'm just worried that it's going to be, because obviously, like, the actors have aged, because the movies are, 15, probably more, actually.
When was the third Matrix movie? One was 99.
And then the third one would have been maybe three or four years after that.
Yeah, maybe 2001 or two.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
So the actors and therefore the characters will have aged. I'm a little worried that it's going to be their child is the actual chosen one.
Mm.
But yeah, like you say, I'm not sure how any of this works. But I'm happy to go along for the ride.
Maybe it'll be something about children born outside the Matrix.
Because that was touched upon a little bit in...
Second one? Underground dance club rave orgy scene. There's some weird stuff in that.
Yeah.
But some really good mechs. Those big robots that they run around and fight in are great. Shooting that door shut. What a moment.
Sigourney Weaver feels.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's huge news. And, I mean, I'm almost convinced that they pushed this this news and the development, everything out faster simply because they wanted to get on the Keanu Reeves 2019 hype.
I think you're right.
Oh, speaking of things that make sense, so you know how they're making that Breaking Bad movie for Netflix?
Yes, El Camino.
Yeah, the teaser trailer came out earlier this week.
I saw.
Yeah. Aaron Paul's character, Jesse, or is it Jess?
It's Jesse.
Some Jesses are Jesses.
He's a Jesse.
Okay. Well, he seems to be wanted back in the meth-making imprisonment world that he experienced. They had Skinny Pete talking to guys.
Do you think we're going to get to see Badger again? I hope so.
Oh, look, you'd be surprised not to, right?
Yeah.
They're going to give you everything you want.
Well, if we're getting Skinny Pete and it's about Pinkman, then Badger's got to be in there somewhere.
I like the fact that it's a movie. And that they didn't say, let's do another offshoot.
True.
I appreciate that they've gone, let's do this. Also, Netflix and not, who was it with? It wasn't HBO.
AMC?
Was it? Yes. Yeah, interesting that it's gone that way. I haven't done any research behind why, but.
I would imagine something to do with Vince Gilligan. He's got some sort of deal, I imagine.
Okay.
That might be the reason.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So Suicide Squad continues to be weird. And
in terms of what, like what? You mean like casting? Or?
Yeah, the people they're getting in it. And I mean good weird. So this is the one that James Gunn is doing. Mm-hmm. And then he's coming back for Guardians 3.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Squad 1 was something that I looked forward to a lot.
And a lot of people did.
It was pretty bad. There were some good moments in there. Half the cast are returning as the same characters.
Okay.
But we don't know if this is a full reboot or continuing the first film. So they might be playing the same characters and just not really addressing what happened in the first film.
I'll just pretend you didn't exist.
Yes. Now, a while ago, I mentioned that Michael Rooker was involved and there was a lot of speculation that he was going to be playing a character called King Shark that I got very excited about because I love this character. He's so stupid.
I remember your excitement.
That's right. So they announced that instead a guy named Steve Agee has been cast as him.
I saw that. Yes. Now, who is Steve Agee?
So he has a very small role in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as one of the Ravager pirates called Jeff. Mm. All the rest have really good alien names, and he's called Jeff.
I probably know him if I was to watch a movie again.
He was also one of the gay neighbors on the Sarah Silverman show, Silverman program back in the 2000s.
Back in the day, yeah.
Really funny guy. You'd have seen him pop up in stuff in the background plenty or in small roles. He's very, very funny. It's odd casting because he's not macho at all. He's about 6'7", something like that, like a really big dude and very beardy and gruff, but with a reasonably shrill voice. So it makes me think that they are going to go a very comedic direction with King Shark.
Are you happy with that?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
So King Shark's thing is like he's had all sorts of different backstories. The main one that they use is that he's the son of a shark god that was worshipped in like Hawaiian Islands or something like that. So he's kind of like the reverse of Aquaman. So Aquaman's half Atlantean, half human and leads there. And this guy's half shark, half human and not allowed to be in charge of anything because he's an idiot.
Okay.
The longer he's out of water, the dumber he gets.
Oh, that's right. I knew there was something about him getting dumb.
Yes. And like one of my favorite moments is he's been like dehydrated for days. He's an idiot and he gets dumped on the front line of a war. And like runs headfirst into battle, screaming, "I'm a shark, I'm a shark, I'm a goddamn shark." Looking to bite. I can see a really anxious, tall, you know, gentle giant guy portraying this role really well. So that one was pretty cool. They've also said that Nathan Fillion is going to be involved in somehow. They haven't revealed anything of the role or what. He's been in a ton of James Gunn stuff. He was in Slither. He has a very quick cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 as a big blue alien that gets beat up by Chris Pratt.
There's always a big blue alien.
Yeah, there always is. And then just before we started recording, now apparently Taika Waititi.
Saw that.
Yeah, he's, again, no announcement of role.
No word.
I'm hoping that they could almost reuse the joke from Deadpool 2 of we start the movie with a Suicide Squad filled with really famous people that just all die instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's called the Suicide Squad. And in the first movie, they only had one character that was a chump and got knocked off straight away. In this, have a bunch of people that just go.
Also, get the names in there.
That's what I mean.
Like, it works.
It's really funny.
Mm.
Like, when you see someone very famous in a tiny throwaway role, it is hilarious. I watched This Is the End the other day, and there's a bit with Channing Tatum that shouldn't be in there. It's a movie chock full of famous people, but then he shows up in this awful role. He would have had a very bad time.
Kind of like Drew Barrymore in Scream.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, just a little bit of cameo stunt casting.
Yeah.
If they do that with a bunch of, you know, cool people like Taika Waititi, Nathan Fillion, people that have genre cred, then that'll be very cool.
I think that'd be cool.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Sleeping through alarms has long been an issue, hitting the snooze button even more so. Want something that will help you get up out of bed first time every time? Welcome to the 3am Thoughts app. If certain thoughts can keep you awake in the middle of the night, why not harness their powers for good? If I tell Cheryl from work to stop saying hi to me each time she walks past my desk on the way to the loo, will she get offended? If someone sitting on the bus tomorrow is allergic to peanuts, could they die because I ate satay last night? Could I be arrested for murder? What should I make for Christmas lunch? There's only 20 weeks left to come up with something. 3am Thoughts app. Download it now.
Did you see the list of, well, the top 10 of the highest paid actresses for this year?
I did not.
Do you want to? Okay, what I'll do is I'll give you number
Scarlett
one.
Johansson.
Yeah. Yeah. 56 million. And then I'll drop back down to 10 and we'll go up.
All right.
In order. So 10 is Ellen Pompeo from.
Is she only 10?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she used to be way up?
Yeah,
but
that was
TV.
45 years ago when that show started.
Sure.
Still going. She made 22 million this year.
That's pretty good.
It's amazing, right? Charlize Theron, 23 million.
Yeah.
I reckon she's going to have a good year next year. I saw that trailer with her, Margot Robbie and Nicole Kidman.
Sure, yeah.
And you're not sure it's her for a while. I don't know how she does stuff with her face. Do you remember her in Monster?
Yeah, I was about to say that.
She does stuff. Oh, it's not all prosthetics and stuff. She does stuff.
Well, and hopefully next year she starts filming Mad Max.
Oh, of course,
five and
yeah.
Six.
Lots coming up. Margot Robbie, 23.5 million. Seventh, Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, good
so
on her.
So she must be getting some good money from Handmaid's. So I know she's been making some movies.
She was in Us.
Of course she was.
There's the neighbor.
It's the neighbor. Well,
the,
I haven't
the
seen
friend,
it.
The friend.
I saw
I don't
it in the trailer.
Yeah,
okay. You were talking about TV shows at number six, Kaylee
Cuoco.
Yeah, from Big Bang. She got 25 million. I would imagine her list, I mean, her name won't be on the list next year simply because that show's not around.
Yeah.
Number five, Jennifer Aniston, 28 million because people love Jennifer Aniston.
Mm.
Nicole Kidman was at number four with 34. Reese Witherspoon, 35.
Reese without a spoon.
Yes. Okay, number two shocked me.
Glenn Close.
Sophia Vergara.
Sure, yeah, she brings in crazy money off Modern Family.
$44.1 million. That's insane.
That's good money.
I mean, she is the face of that show, but and also the personality.
If I find
myself.
Are you
Sayed O'Neill?
No, if I find myself watching it, it's for Manny.
Oh, yeah, Manny's great.
But I do not find myself watching it.
No.
Very often.
I've watched it for ages.
No.
So that's the top 10 with Scarlett Johansson right at the front.
Nice.
Right, top. Of course, she's part of Marvel. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, she's got Black Widow next year and then probably that Money Train dries up for her.
Yeah.
She'll have other work elsewhere.
Of course she will.
Good
she
friend. Good this. Personal friend of the show. She'll get in touch. We'll hook you up.
Right. What else have you found in the news?
So I mentioned earlier, before we started recording,
yeah.
That there was a big story that no one's talking about. So remember when Disney bought Marvel for $4 billion? And
yeah.
I was like, crazy.
Yeah.
And then they bought Star Wars, even more niche,
mm-hmm.
for $4 billion. Crazy stuff. Hasbro just bought E1, a company from the UK, for $4 billion. So they now own Peppa Pig and PJ Masks and a license to print money.
So Hasbro is...
the toy company.
I don't know. Have they been part of the media sort of world at all, or is this their first step into it? And if it's their first step into it, they have stepped in big. If they've gotten
look, they've
E1.
Done plenty of stuff.
E1's in like it's everywhere.
Yes, they've done plenty of stuff in the past. You know, your Mattel, your Hasbro, all of them. They're all, especially in the '80s, it was all about making TV shows or cartoons that tied into their products.
Of course,
so they're very experienced with this stuff. Peppa Pig, PJ Masks always have a presence in yet. You know, no longer Toys R Us or toy stores like that.
Mm.
But they're always from a decidedly cheaper looking quality.
Mm-hmm.
So this lets them step up, their price point step up. Hasbro, it's another great audience for them. Worldwide stuff, films.
Yeah, absolutely worldwide. International.
Yes. So that's a pretty big deal.
Huh.
And you'd... it just got no coverage compared to Disney buying everyone?
Well, if it's happened in the past week, it's because everybody had their knickers in a knot about Spider-Man and whatnot.
Yes. Now, should we talk about that?
We should. I can give you my opinion in two words. Calm down.
At first, my opinion was hold your horses. Yeah. Just let's see what happens. It's going on a bit now. It's only been a week, and it took a few days for, you know, your Kevin Feige or your Tom Holland or anyone to actually pipe up and say anything, and everyone's being very diplomatic. I am very hopeful that they have witnessed the fan sentiment and can see the potential impact on the bottom dollar that's at you, Sony.
Which is what, yeah.
And then also seeing the potential impact on the sentiment towards Marvel, and that's on Marvel. Because there's been conflicting stories of who's walked away from the table. There are fingers being pointed Marvel's way, fingers being pointed Sony's way. I understand Marvel wanting, you know, from what I understand, that the deal was that Marvel wanted a 50-50 spend. So they would put up 50% of the money for making the film, but they would in turn take 50% back. At the moment, they made, I think, $5 out of every 100.
So they're still going all right, but they wanted more.
Yes. And financially, it was worth Marvel investing the time, effort, Kevin Feige's time, all this sort of stuff, supporting those Sony offshoot films, because then he got to come and play in the Avengers and made it better. No one can deny, you know, Civil War, fantastic in that. The Avengers movies, he added so much. I am, you know, I'm quite disappointed by all of this. I think a lot of people are. That kid is perfect. And having him in the Marvel Universe makes it so much better. I don't know how they continue the stories from here on out, because the ending of Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, like you said that that's setting it up.
I do not know how they can continue that story without addressing the fact that he's part of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
They could very much pull a, oh, I've been pulled into an alternate universe, I'm part of Spider-Verse now. That's easily done. That's what they will do so they can rush into making a Venom movie. I get that. But it's not good, man.
Well, I think we may have a completely different story to look at next week.
Well, I think so. The thing is, I think it's very – we need to keep an eye on what Tom Holland's up to, because on Instagram he's no longer following Sony.
Really?
Yeah, he's still close with Marvel, but Sony's on that. It was a tough week for the guy, because not only did all of that happen, but that Uncharted movie that we've been so excited about lost the director.
Yeah, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. It's never a good sign when that kind of thing happens.
No, especially when they're this close to production.
And especially when it's based on a video game. You just, every time there's a video game based movie, you just want it to go right. You want it to go smoothly.
And this dude, Dan Trachtenberg, he's a young dude. He's a gamer. So it felt like if anyone could get it and maybe have a go and do it properly, it would be this guy. So the movie is still slated to come out next year. Someone could step in. It happens all the time. You look at Bohemian Rhapsody. Dexter Fletcher stepped in on that halfway through production. It is possible, but it doesn't always work out for the best.
Yeah.
So, poor Tom Holland. What a guy.
Dear.
Just let him go and do some miming to Rihanna in the Rain. That'll cheer him up.
That will cheer everyone up. Okay, so we know that Kit Harington has been cast in The Eternals as Black Knight.
Yes. Well, they said as Dane.
Well, yeah.
Yes, which is the character that becomes a Black Knight. They haven't called out specifically that he will. He clearly will.
Well, the fans have been saying that this is exactly what's going to happen.
Well.
What?
I think Marvel's going to pull a swift one on us.
Why?
Because they've announced the character's name, like the his persona, whatever, but not said him as Black Knight. And everyone hears, you know, Jon Snow playing this character. Oh, it makes total sense. They're going to swerve.
Really?
I don't think they're just going to do typecasting that much of getting the guy that basically played the Black Knight for
yeah,
years
right.
on Game of Thrones to come and do the same character. There'll be something different.
He's very good at it, though.
Yeah. So the Black Knight in the comics, he's a British superhero, you know, he carries a cursed sword that basically won't let him die. He keeps coming back from the dead, and it's the ebony blade, and it sends souls and blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. He's an American dude pretending to be English.
Oh, really?
He's obsessed with British culture. So I could maybe that'll be the twist, is that they
that's fun.
Do all this stuff with him doing the accent and then suddenly he just speaks American. Maybe that will be it.
I wouldn't mind that.
Even if that's the only twist, that's still pretty good. But
the more you have, before that twist, it really does sound like Jon Snow. I like the fact that he and Richard Madden are back together again, the Starks, and so others. In fact, people have been talking about how Game of Thrones predicted this was going to happen back in 2011 when Rob says, this is the second episode ever of the show. He says, next time I see you, you'll be all in black. And Jon says, it was always my colour. And they never did see each other again because of the Red Wedding.
Oh.
But now they're in this movie. And if I was going to call him Jon Snow then for a second. If Kit Harington shows up in black when meeting Rob, Rob, I really hope that they reference that.
Mm.
Do we know each other? Something nice. Just easy like that.
Yeah, because Kit won't be one of the Eternals.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
Like they're a royal family.
They've already said that he isn't. Yeah. Fun. All right, what else have you got?
So some cool news. There's a Good Place one-hour special that airs before season four kicks off. That's going to be lots of behind-the-scenes footage, interviews with cast and I'm hoping writers that talk about philosophy and this sort of stuff.
That'd be cool.
Get a bit in-depth. Another one that's cool is, remember Dynamo the Magician?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's finally coming back to TV, which is great. He's been sick for the last couple of years.
Oh, no.
It's been a whole thing. So he did four seasons of his show. And the last big stunt that he did went wrong, and not as in someone got hurt, but as in helicopters and things filmed him levitating between two buildings, and the glare of the day and stuff actually showed that he was walking on ropes.
Oh, okay.
So,
damn.
Yes, it didn't work out as planned. He stepped away from his show and a bit of the media spotlight for a while there, and then he got really sick. He's had Crohn's disease since he was young, which is a big deal anyway.
Yeah.
But then he's had something else that he hasn't talked about too much, but put on a lot of weight, got quite ill and wasn't able to perform and this sort of stuff. Anyway, he's announced that he's returning with a new TV show next year, having conquered his health problems. I am ecstatic for this. He's a great guy. I met him in Sydney years
ago. Did you?
Really nice guy.
Exciting.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll have to look out for that. Just a really quick little note here to say that Eddie Murphy, it's been announced that he's going to host SNL on Christmas Eve this year.
Oh, wow.
And this is the first time he will have done that since 1984.
I was going to say, I can't remember him ever hosting. That's why.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So that's all I've got about that.
What more needs to be said?
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey are going to be in a Pixar's movie called Soul.
I saw that. That looks very cool.
I'm just happy about the fact that they are going to exist in something together. I got a bit
it's
of
a
time.
Good combo.
I got a bit of time for Jamie Foxx as an actor.
Yeah, and it's a Pixar movie, and from what I read about it, it sounds like it's almost like a not a sequel, but a spiritual sister to Inside Out.
Yes.
You've got one that was about how the brain behaves and this is about how the soul behaves. Mm. That's awesome.
I'm of course, going to watch it. So.
So this is the jazz one, correct?
Yeah. So he's a middle school band teacher whose true passion is playing jazz. And Tina Fey is 22, as in the number, not the age. And she's a soul in training. They have a chance encounter and stuff happens.
Awesome.
And the movie starts. That's right. Yeah. I know you've got a lot of stuff from the weekend.
Yes. Yes, I've got some Star Wars stuff. There's a bit of a mix of gear. There was so much revealed. So D23, which was on, which was like a Disney-focused Comic-Con type thing.
Hmm.
Lots and lots of announcements. So I'm going to just fire off a lot of them.
Go for
real
it.
Real quick. So there's going to be some more Disney Plus live action TV shows for Marvel coming. They've announced Moon Knight, who I've discussed before.
Yep.
He's multiple personality Batman.
Amazing.
Ms. Marvel, which is not Captain Marvel, but it's a girl inspired by Captain Marvel to become her own hero.
I see.
She's a teenage girl. It's basically Spider-Man, but with a Muslim girl.
Cool.
Yes, and she lives in New Jersey and her power is to stretch and grow and get bigger and stuff. Her battle cry is Imbigan. She's a super nerd. She writes fan fiction. She's obsessed with all the other superheroes and this sort of stuff.
I really hope she's got a real New Jersey accent.
Oh, she better. She better. It's probably Marvel's second most successful new character behind Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Yeah, nice.
In the last 10, 15 years or something like that. And it has real potential for, in the same way that I watch Spider-Man and go, I wish I was like that. There are a lot of teenage geek girls that will love this show.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's
and then
great.
The other one, She-Hulk. I'm stoked about that.
She-Hulk? Yeah.
She-Hulk. Yes. So if they do this right, it will be Ally McBeal with a 7-foot green woman.
It's got something for everyone.
That's all you need to know. Yep. There was a poster for WandaVision, which is the Scarlet Witch Vision show. It looks like 1950s suburbia.
It almost had that kind of Fallout vibe to it.
Yes, it looks like post-apocalyptic suburbia. Yeah. Something's not quite right there. There's some cool silhouettes and shadows on the wall of their costume selves and her in her more traditional comic book costume, which is nice. There's a bunch of pills on the table laying scattered, which signifies that something's not quite right in the situation.
Yeah, things are not as they seem.
So the last we saw of her in Endgame, she was furious at Thanos and trying
to
rip him apart.
I'm so angry and I'm sad too.
You took everything from me. Mm. I could see her very much having a mental snap. She's trying to rebuild a family and skipping through suburban ideals or what expectations are.
Interesting.
Yes, they said it's going to be a lot funnier than we expect.
I hope there's a laugh track.
So do I. It would be amazing. The What If, which is the cartoon series with the film actors voicing themselves and stuff like that, we've heard that the very first episode is going to be about Peggy Carter, who's Steve Rogers, Captain America's World War II flame. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a tough sentence to
get to. Yeah, it really was.
A lot of fact-checking in my head as I went.
And also there's a lot that happens in movies that you could end up saying something different.
Exactly. So this first episode is going to be what if she received the super soldier serum instead of Steve Rogers.
That's a nice little take, yeah.
Yes, and they showed a tiny bit of animation and imagery and stuff like that, and she's playing Captain Carter. She has the shield, but it has the Union Jack on it.
Oh, cool.
Which is very cool. And Steve Rogers is now in a powered-up mech. So he's kind of become Iron Man, but at the end of World War II instead.
I haven't seen the trailer, but I'm imagining exactly what it looks like. And I'd be surprised if I wasn't almost spot on.
Mm-hmm. Bit of steampunky action.
Another
one for the Disney Channel, so not Disney Plus. There's an animated series of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Moon Girl is about another Marvel character. She's she's about 10, African-American girl who gets bombarded with these rays and then can somehow telepathically swap bodies with a 30-foot tall red dinosaur, a red T-Rex.
I hate it when that happens.
Isn't it the worst? It also turns out that she's officially the smartest person on Earth.
Oh, really?
Like smarter than Mr. Fantastic and all the big brains and this sort of stuff. So she's a tech inventor that rides around on a giant red T-Rex.
That's cool.
Yes. So the series is, like the comic series, is very clearly aimed at kids. Mm. And it's actually one of Marvel's best sellers to libraries. Because the collected editions are great for kids in school.
Wonderful.
Yes. So a Disney Channel series coming with that is very cool.
And so therefore, because it has gone into libraries, there's the potential that a lot of kids do already know about this character.
Very much so. Very much so. So Devil Dinosaur is a character that's been around since the 60s.
Okay.
There was originally Moon Boy and Devil Dinosaur, and Moon Boy is a caveman monkey type guy that got pulled to the present and lives with this dinosaur. Blah. They got separated and now the dinosaur hangs out with this girl in the Bronx.
Probably likes her more.
Yeah, but the dinosaur lives in the tunnels underneath the Bronx.
So it's kind of like Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Yes.
He had to pretend not to be there.
And at points you're like, is this an imaginary dinosaur that she's dealing with? We, the reader, no, it's not. But
it's never quite sure.
Played very cool. At one point the Venom alien goes on the dinosaur. It's awesome.
I hope they'll put that in. They will.
It'd be very cool.
They'll put that in the show.
I'm going to keep the Star Wars news to the end because I know we're very excited about that. And we've got trailers and stuff to talk about. But they announced a bunch of new ride stuff. You know, I'm always very interested in the ride. I'm not going to get into all of it today. But one that particularly interested me, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff new at Epcot. Basically, Orlando has four parks. It has, for Disney, it has Magic Kingdom, which is the traditional Disneyland. Has Epcot, which was all about innovation, science, technology in the future.
Ah, got you.
Then there's Hollywood Studios, which is about movie making, and Animal Kingdom, which is about nature.
Okay.
So Epcot, when it first opened, was really state of the edge and, you know, theaters sponsored by Kodak to learn about film production and this sort of stuff. And then it's gotten very tired and old. And there's one half of it, it's called the World Showcase, and that's all themed around different countries in the world, and they sponsor to be there. And you know, Mexico has a ride where the three Caballeros of Donald and the birds all sing to you and this sort of stuff. And then the other end of the park, which was all about innovation and stuff like that, has gotten very tired. Like they had a ride about learning about how energy works, hosted by Bill Nye the Science Guy and Ellen from like the mid-90s, maybe.
It sounds like a school excursion.
Oh, it was. I'm pretty sure it was from before Ellen was gay.
Okay.
Like, that's how old we're going.
Wow.
Back. Like, she was always gay, but before we knew she was gay.
I know what you mean.
You know what
I
mean.
Yeah.
So they're ripping up heaps of that and replacing it. There's a Tron light cycle, is what they're calling it. That's coming. There's a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster.
Fun.
They've announced that the UK Pavilion will be getting a Mary Poppins ride. Yes.
Why does it not already have that?
Exactly. That is the right reaction. In my head, because that area is already, like, I went and drank Guinness in a English-themed pub there. It was
nice.
Lovely.
Yeah.
In my head, all they've got to do is add an extra corner and another cobbled street that looks just like the film, and then you walk in the front door of the house and go on the ride. It's the work is already done. I mean, not the ride itself. That's still very technical, but
I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying is not almost word by word.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
I'm sure. They'll have the Admiral firing the cannon outside and all, you know, all the little bits that you want. Maybe some penguins dancing around a light pole.
I always want penguins dancing around light poles.
Yeah, so we're getting that. There's going to be a Moana walkthrough.
Oh, nice.
Where they don't say much about this, but there's interactive water elements.
That sounds fun.
Embody the playful nature of the water god. That'll be good fun.
I think they can do really cool things with that.
Oh, if they get Rock to record some more lines, that'd be great.
He will.
Yeah.
He'll say yes to that one.
Well, you're welcome.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So, yeah, and like, as I say, there was tons more that we could go on and on about, but we don't need to.
We don't need to.
Because Star Wars owned a lot of that weekend.
Oh. So we got to find out about Mandalorian.
Can I say?
Yes.
I was like 200% more amped at the end of that Mandalorian trailer than I was. Like,
and you were pretty excited about that.
The Rise of Skywalker, that trailer was great.
Oh, what a great. I mean, they know who their audience
what
is.
What was the shot that got you? Because there's two shots that everyone's talking about.
Hang on, which one?
And I feel like it divides people into two categories.
In Rise of Skywalker?
Yes, in that trailer that just came out, there's two shots that have got people really amped and nervous.
Okay, well, obviously, I'm 100% intrigued with Evil Rey.
Yes.
Because then I started to look online for theories and stuff, and I saw this one on the Star Wars Theory YouTube channel, and they were talking about how she could be a clone, and they were talking about how in The Last Jedi, when she went into that cave and she went up to the broken mirror and she saw like an infinite amount of herself.
Wow.
I watched it just before. She goes up to another mirror and she says something like, "Show me who my parents are," and two shadows walk up towards it. They morph, merge into one, and then suddenly it's her. And she's like, "Oh, that's really unfair." So, is she a clone? Potentially, is that her evil clone twin?
Wow.
Potentially. Therefore, she does have no parents, which is something that we've been wanting to know the whole entire time.
That is a very elaborate theory. That is a lot more than what I had heard.
Did you hear the fact that it's like a Jedi sort of vision that she's having?
Someone thinks that that's going to be Kylo's vision.
Ooh, I like that.
Of him seeing her as the embodiment of evil.
What if they do switch?
Mm-hmm.
Because Kylo has been teetering, like
that's
he's
right.
so unbalanced. And if Rey is so obviously powerful but has no idea who she is, if they do twist it, the thing is if they do twist it, they've got to be really careful they don't do the Daenerys problem.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yep.
But I love that trailer.
It's not going to be a real thing because Rey is one of the main characters in Galaxy's Edge and she walks around and she's there for young girls to aspire to.
And if she's suddenly Darth Vader incarnate.
However, the other person, the other shot in that trailer.
Are you talking about the red eyes?
Yes. That is what has me most excited about this film.
Why does C-3PO, I was going to say wake up. I'm going to use the word wake up. Turn on with red eyes. What does that mean?
So there's a precedent for that and it has me very nervous because you might think to yourself, like a protocol droid, what danger is there in that? So there's a Star Wars comic that's been running for the last few years called Dr. Aphra, and she's a mercenary archaeologist. Imagine Han Solo, but he went around raiding.
It's Lara Croft.
It's Lara Croft. It's Indiana Jones mixed with Han Solo. They basically blended Harrison Ford's two big roles.
Can they make this a show and or movie? I'm getting sidetracked.
That's okay. She could potentially appear on The Mandalorian. I think she's in that same time period. But her comic exists between the events of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
She knocks around with two droids. She has a team of basically bad versions of people we know. There's a really hyper-violent Wookiee. There's an astromech droid like R2 who is covered with weapons. And then the C-3PO, which is called 000.
Oh, emergency.
And he is the worst person in the galaxy. He's
really? Well, like, what, evil?
Well, somehow when he was programmed, no morality was programmed into him, and the only pleasure he can derive is from watching humans suffer.
Oh, my goodness.
He's really into flaying us. So all of his fingers are Inspector Gadget fingers with knives and stuff like that. And he uses the astromech droid to basically blow people's legs off so he can then come and slice them up slowly.
How's Disney going to make this?
I don't know, but he felt like a throwaway character at first, and then they've taken him on this huge trajectory, this huge arc where he became like a crime lord, and then...
Oh, really?
And then it revealed that all of this stuff he was doing was just because he was trying to find his data files. They'd wiped his memories. And when he got them back, he realized that there were no earlier memories. Like, he was just always this evil thing and then commits to that life. He's great.
So what I took from seeing C-3PO with red eyes, I was like, oh, like Palpatine or someone's taken him and reprogrammed him. But from what you're saying, it could be a completely different character, or it could be C-3PO reprogrammed and then ending up like as this character.
So I'm going to throw it out there now. This is my crazy speculation.
Go for it.
We're dealing with J.J. Abrams' mystery. He loves this sort of stuff. He loves viruses. What if a character that can speak over 7,000 languages gets infected with a viral virus?
It's like the Matrix.
Yes, but someone uploads a techno-organic virus to him that corrupts him via data, and then he unfortunately becomes like a mole from within.
We didn't see R2-D2, did we?
We did not.
I wonder what happens and if R2-D2 saves C-3PO, because they are the real, like that's the couple.
It is.
Of the whole entire
The other element that doesn't get brought up a whole lot is that C-3PO is not standard protocol droid at all. He was built in the desert by Anakin. So he was built with a lot of force tricks.
Yeah.
So there's that potential for him to, I don't know, maybe Kylo or someone can, puppet him.
Yeah. Ooh, what if the ghost of Anakin gets into C-3PO and then he's got like, working body again? And he's like, I've decided I'm evil. Or else it's Palpatine.
I was going to say, what if Palpatine uses him to get back? Like he's been uploaded as a data file for the last 30 years.
Yes.
And then uses a data spike, gets in C-3PO until he can upload himself somewhere properly.
I'm so down with this.
And then that ties into your clone theory of Rey, because if Palpatine's cloning himself and we know that he builds clone armies, all right, we solved it.
Now we don't have to watch the movie.
That's right. Sorry, JJ, we ruined your movie.
Any other news?
Well, look, that Mandalorian trailer was great.
Oh, it was great.
So amped for this show.
It made me, I've decided I'm getting Disney Plus. Decision made.
I already knew I was.
I knew you were.
Whether or not I would get it for launch, I wasn't sure. There was one shot of IG-88, the bounty hunter robot, the tall one with long thin legs. It looks like Tin Man from Wizard of Oz, like doing a 360 shootout, spinning. I was like, I'm in. It did look like Dengar, which was another one of the bounty hunters, the guy with the head wrap, was in one of the shots with IG-88.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm so amped. I'm still not. Is it Boba Fett? Because he's got a, like,
I don't know.
The person doesn't speak.
It doesn't. And who?
So we didn't hear the Kiwi accent.
And who's Pedro? Who's Pedro Pascal? Like, where?
That's right. We don't know who he is. Werner Herzog is in there doing Werner Herzog things. I'm here for that. Yeah, this looks like it's going to be great fun.
Searching for felines near Melmac. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've got two other trailers.
Go for it.
We've had enough news. You look like you're full of news.
I'm full of it.
One trailer is a show that I am so amped for. We've mentioned that it was coming, but we finally laid eyes on it. I'll get to that in a second. The other one is a show called The Unicorn. It's on CBS. You know, we were talking not too long ago how that movie You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
You watch that.
And I watch that.
That's of its time.
Very much.
This show sounds like even 3-4 years from now, it will be of this time. I was like, oh.
Yeah, really?
So it's called The Unicorn. It's Walton Goggins, who he's on tons of stuff.
Okay.
You've seen him.
We know his face if we Google him.
He's on Vice Principals with Danny McBride. That's the most recent big thing. He plays his wife died a year ago, mm-hmm. and he's raising his two daughters alone. And his friends convince him to sign up for a dating app where he becomes known as the Unicorn because he's really the perfect catch, you know. He's got a proven track record with fidelity and long-term relationships. He's good with kids, all this sort of stuff. What? Like, that's a premise for a show? Dude gets lucky on dating app because of...
It really does sound like Got Mail.
It's just awkwardly outdated. Like, okay, I can see that being funny to people who are a bit older, who don't, but that just sounds like,
You can't be dealing with it. I can see the look in your face. You're like, I'm not even probably going to watch an episode just to see. That's fine.
Flip it around and that's inappropriate television content. You could not have that show be made about a woman.
That's a good point, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, of its time. We're just in this weird nebulous thing at the moment where that's okay. Oh, what a guy.
Yeah. Whoa. It's fine to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
So the other one, whatever. Disney showed us the first trailer for The World According to Jeff Goldblum. And it was amazing. It looks like there's going to be like an hour episode about shoes.
So what is he doing in the show?
Exploring.
Are we just following him around?
Yes, and it looks like he goes to investigate mundane things that have brought him wonder.
Oh, I bet you anything.
How coffee is made.
He goes and looks at, like, you know how zippers always have, is it YKK or something like that written on them? I bet he goes and finds out who YKK is.
I think, I'm really hoping, do you remember what the thing on your shoelace is called?
Oh, yeah, that plastic aglot thing. I can't remember.
It's
a thing, it's and one people of those are rich.
I have a feeling he's going to spend time on that.
I hope so.
And it just looks like him going and being a mythical creature in the world, fascinated by things that the rest of us just look past.
He's so mythical. What's it called?
The show is called The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
And that's coming on Disney Plus later in the year. And, yep.
They got a lot of stuff there, don't they?
He says that he's young at heart and still out to bloom. Gold bloom.
I think he was being interviewed by a reporter from Variety and she asked him about his thoughts on the Disney Spider-Man thing. Just, I'm not going to say anything. Just go and Google it.
I agree.
His reaction is...
It was spectacular. I've never seen someone avoid a question better. It was the most polite way of saying, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Exactly. We will have a quiz very soon. We'll have a quick chat about the Fear the Walking Dead episode as well. But let's have a look at what you watch.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Do you want, you jump in, tell us.
You want to have a jump in?
Yeah, I've just spoken a lot.
Okay, fair enough. So you know I'm quite a big fan of jail, prison, documentary kind of shows.
You do love a behind bars.
So when I saw one called Happy Jail on Netflix, I was like, what is this and how do I get involved in it as quickly as possible? And the answer was you press play. But Happy Jail is set in that Philippines jail that had the prisoners dancing to Thriller.
Oh, the Michael Jackson. Yeah.
In Cebu. It's the CPRDC. Now, they say that really, really quickly all the time. But what a place,
what a place.
So they still do dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, there's all this, like the governor and the ex-governor are sort of having a fight. Like it's a documentary. They're having a fight in the background because the ex-governor wants to get back into power. So, yeah, like this guy is an ex-convict and now he's the manager. Pretty much the guy underneath the warden. So he's running the whole entire prison. And he's just so... casual. It's almost like he's a character from a movie.
I was going to say, so in a jail movie, he's the guy with a baton that walks around knocking on the bars.
He's got a paddle.
But he's not the dude with a big desk that someone gets marched into.
No, but you do get marched into his office, but he doesn't have a big desk. But he, like at one point, right, so there were people who, prisoners who had got done in the jail with drugs. So he brings them into his desk office and he gets out the big paddle and has them lie on a bench separately and they get 15 smacks on the bottom with this. Like it would never happen here.
No,
it just would never happen. And then at the end of that bit, he gets out a gun, which has blanks in it. He shoots at the ceiling. They all, like everybody in that room, including the guards, are like, oh, what that? And he said, next time if I catch you with drugs, these will be real bullets. He gets into a bit of trouble with that, which I'm quite glad about. But there was like a guy that escaped. So instead of the police trying to find him, he and some of the guards go to this guy's hometown and go and find his girlfriend and ask her where he is.
Do you think that's because
find him.
Do you think that's because of the camera crew?
I think it's because of the camera crew. But they all had guns and it's just nothing like any. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Awesome.
I'm halfway through the season. I think I'm up to about episode 6. It's on Netflix. Oh, another show.
Mm.
So you know the show 60 Days In? It was about how normal people would be part of this documentary where they would go into the prison, pretend that they had these convictions or outstanding warrants or something. And they would go into a prison or a jail, I should say, and they would have to spend 60 days in there pretending that they were real prisoners and then try and find stuff out about prisoners or what's wrong with the jail in terms of inmates so that the warden and whoever can make it better.
Sure.
Right. And the first season was great. In fact, one of Muhammad Ali's daughters was in there.
Okay.
And at one point there was a story about her father, this is a couple of years ago, a story about her father on the news, and she was freaking out that they were going to show a photograph of like him
Make
with
the connection.
His daughter. Yeah, but it didn't happen, thank goodness. But it was amazing. Funnily enough, somehow there's been 5 seasons and I had no idea. I only watched the first 2. It was only like a year ago as well I was watching the second one. They've been busy.
What are you even doing here right now?
I know. Well, season 4 and 5 are both available to stream on Foxtel at the moment, so I'm going to be pretty busy. And Vice here in Australia, have got, I think, the first 2 seasons going.
So they're out there.
You can pick it up anywhere, but you know how I love those prison
yeah.
shows. I just thought I'd give you the heads up with a couple.
Jeez, good looking out.
You were supposed to be checking in with a few shows.
I watched a lot of stuff, but a lot of stuff just we'll just check in and see what's happened.
So fantastic.
That new show I talked about last week, Straight Up with Steve Austin.
You quite liked that.
I did quite enjoy that. This week the episode was with Sal Volcano, who is probably my favourite of the Impractical Jokers.
Oh, well, this show's perfect for you.
Lifelong wrestling fan, was clearly very excited to meet Stone Cold. They went out driving in this souped-up four-wheel drive looking thing, and we're going pretty quick, and then just drove straight into a lake because it was a submersible vehicle, or like an aquatic.
It's like a hover, not a hover, but
the wheels folded up, and then it.
Oh, I would like that.
It was cool fun.
That'd be really fun.
They drove that to a wrestling training school, and okay. He got taught how to take a bump, how to fall and make it look like you got hurt.
As a huge wrestling fan, he must have been absolutely in heaven. Day with Stone Cold and then that.
Yeah, and then they both drank a lot of beer.
Oh, mate.
Is right. It was very, very blokey. Over on Impractical Jokers, though, this week, they did a special episode at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Fun.
Last year, maybe the year before, they did one at Universal Orlando. Mm-hmm. That was an hour special. This one's just a normal length episode. But they pose as staff, cast workers and stuff in the park. And then the punishment it made me laugh so hard. If you've ever been on that studio tram there, you know, it goes really slow. They don't slow down much for photos and it's...
They got to get through it. Lots of people want to be a part of that.
That's right. Yeah. It's slow, but it's still at a weird pace. And there's a red cord that you can pull if there's an emergency. So I won't say who, but the loser of the show has to sit in the middle row of the middle tram on this full packed thing.
Oh, no.
And has to pull the cord whenever the other guys tell him and then say whatever they tell him.
Oh, no.
And he gets stitched up so bad.
So what were the excuses he was giving for continuously pulling on that red?
Well, the first one he pulls and like the tram stops instantly and the tour guide has to get on the microphone and be like, someone's pulled the red cord. If this is a medical emergency, please pull the red cord a second time.
Okay.
Which he then has to say every time the red cord gets pulled. But he steps off and comes to the back of the tram and finds where the Joker is, and the Joker gets told at the last second, you have to say, what time is the park closed today? Just be really quiet. Try and say it under your breath like you haven't interrupted everybody.
It's so annoying.
And that's where it starts, and then it gets to, can you just drive a bit slower? I'm trying to get some good photos.
Gosh.
Look, I'm really sorry about bothering you. It's just I feel like we got off on the wrong foot. Can we just start over?
How's the guy going? Like, is he
– The guy is in on
professional
it.
Professional?
The guy is in on it.
Oh, right, okay.
It's everyone else on the tram. It's the other 150, 200 people's day being ruined. Because the guy gets back on. He's like, look, I'm really sorry, but if this happens again, we're going to have to start missing areas of the tour.
This is taking too long. I would not be happy with that.
So all the people that got stiffed over clearly got like a VIP tour at the end or something like that. It got sorted out.
Yeah.
But the people turned on him so quickly and started shouting things at him.
In their
security got called.
Special American amusement park outfits. I can see it now.
Dude, don't pull that cord again or I'm going to smack your face. Like that sort of anger. I want to see Wisteria Lane.
Oh, doesn't everyone? Oh, that's amazing. That's so awkward. But that's what Impractical Jokers is, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And me looking at things behind the scenes, didn't even clue in on it straight away. But they were there at the same time they're filming Good Place. So maybe that's where the connection came and they became friends to go and do the Misery Index, that new program they've got. Who knows?
Probably, I would like to think so.
Probably not, but it'd be nice to think it was.
Yeah.
And then, look, lastly, I just have to give a shout-out to Most Expensivest. I do tend to do this, give it a shout-out, but the editor they have there is the best in the game. They're just making 2 Chainz look like a goose. Not look bad, not look dumb, just like a bit of a goose.
Yeah.
And he's clearly a goose in real life anyway. He flubs lines, messes things up all the time. He constantly says 2 Chainz coming to you live from, and the editor will put up a not live. Asterisk, not live.
He must say it all the time.
All the time. But it's just constantly correcting 2 Chainz or just making him look like a bit of a goose. This week's episode was about Off the Vine. It was all about expensive wine, how to make it, but also how to buy expensive land that could be good to use for growing berries.
So if you love wine so much that you think you can make it better than anyone else, you obviously want to get the right plot of land for it.
That's right. That's right. So he was talking with this guy whose dad had, his family basically had waited 80 years for the surrounding estates to them to free up, purchase all of them. And
that's a long game.
Whatever. The big section of the episode at the end, they're talking about this middle-aged, older white woman who blows, like glass blows decanters.
Yeah.
And like really expensive decanters, like wine decanters and stuff like that. Like things that look like a French horn that you pour it in one and you've got a twist over your shoulder and literally drop it and all this sort of stuff. It's quite a thing. But she's like, you just drop it off your shoulder.
Was he allowed to do it?
Oh, yeah. He has a lot of fun. But he's like, you just drop it off your shoulder. You know, you drop it like it's hot. And Two Chainz goes like, oh, and you went there. And then the editor turns into like this 20-second breakdown. It's insane.
They're dropping it like it's hot.
Yep. Of just Two Chainz looking like an idiot. Wearing ridiculous clothes, all of his chains, and this middle-aged white woman dancing awkwardly.
There's no part of that that isn't funny.
Oh, it's so good.
Did you go back and watch that bit again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I at least three times an episode I paused to find one of the hidden jokes in the background. It's the equivalent of the editors writing, like, help us messages in the back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they do some weird stuff. Really good. Good program. A lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun. Have you got anything else?
Look, you mentioned that you got something else that you're wrapping up and you want to talk about next week. I'll do the same. I'll just say Doom Patrol finally hit iTunes. If anyone has been looking forward to seeing it and doesn't have the DC Universe app, which is basically anyone who doesn't live in America, this is now available on iTunes. And the first few episodes, I'm having a great time with it. It's really weird. It's a very odd show. I can't believe that in the same year we got Umbrella Academy, The Boys, and now Doom Patrol. These are very odd, strange, non-superhero comic books.
Yeah, they're doing really incredibly well.
Yes. Mm. A lot of people having fun on this show.
Oh, good.
So Brendan Fraser, he plays the main robot. There is a cyborg, so I can't call him a cyborg. But, yeah, Brendan Fraser was like a meathead NASCAR driver in the 80s who's in a horrific accident, only his brain survives and gets put in a old school steampunk robot.
Yeah, cool.
Matthew Bomer, who he was in White Collar, but then he was also, Magic Mike. That's what I remember. He's in those movies. He plays there's a lot of big names.
All right.
Timothy Dalton is in there.
Oh, no way.
Yes. So I will talk about it more next week when I know more.
He was a Bond and everything.
Exactly. Mm. But at the moment there's a, in the first episode, there's a donkey that's actually a wormhole and it can fart messages from Satan.
That's okay. That set the tone. I understand.
Yeah, I needed to get to that sentence at the end because if I asked that too early, like if I said that too early, then you'd have too many questions about that. Yeah. So I'm saying if you're interested in weird, this show is very weird.
That's as weird as it gets. Mm. We've had a Fear the Walking Dead episode as we should have because it's back again.
It's that time.
We finally got to find out. I should have perhaps used a different sentence, but
I like it.
I've invested in this
board.
Now. Who was the person behind the tree paintings, as in paintings on trees?
And we found out.
We found out that fan theories, including our own, that it was going to be Madison, was wrong.
Yep. It wasn't even Heath.
No. Where is Heath?
He's going to be in the movies.
He's the actual character that when I see him return, I'm going to be so happy.
He'll be in the movies, I reckon. I reckon he got picked up. Maybe he was an A or a B.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. If he's not in it now.
Look, they have to have an existing character there for him to meet.
So he can be like, hey.
That's right.
Heath?
There has to be some connection back.
You've lost your dreadlocks? Yeah. So we met this new character. We met what was his phrase? People being people, or people are
people
always
going to be people, or something. Yeah,
which basically means people are the worst.
Mm.
So the man that he found, who had taken his stuff from the police station, looked like he could have been Rick's brother.
Sure.
Go back and have a couple of look and you go, oh, yeah, that's Neil Grimes.
Well, in canon on the comics, Rick's brother was in, I think, Venice.
Ah.
When the apocalypse happened, there was one issue of a comic with him in.
Okay.
He basically tried to hop in a canoe and start rowing to America.
Good
Never
choice.
Saw him again.
No. Not surprised.
No.
So now that Alicia has painted her own tree with her own mother's quote, did you feel that was closure, or are you still hoping that we get a Madison?
I've not been hoping for Madison. I'm happy for that era to be done. It kind of sucks that we lost so many of the characters, but if you look at it, they kept Strand, Daniel, and I guess Alicia, which are the stronger characters. Mm. I'd still like Nick. Nick was good, but I don't miss Madison.
But Nick's exit was amazing.
Good. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was just so shocking and out of the blue. It was wonderful. So this episode, how'd you feel about it? I mean, it was okay for me.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I wanted more clean-shaven Dwight.
Mm. I think we'll get that next week.
I sincerely hope so. That was what was missing for me.
I was a bit confused, though, because Morgan, at the end of the last episode, told Grace that he has to go and find Alicia because she's on her own. And then we see this episode that she's with Strand. I'm like, huh?
Maybe Strand don't count.
Maybe.
But
I was
yeah,
a bit confused
I,
about
I
that.
I agree.
I thought, where are we in a timeline? Have we done some sort of jump or gone back?
Maybe no. Grace knew that as well and knew that Morgan was just bullshitting to try and get away.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It's that type of thing.
Maybe. That's confusing.
Maybe it's just a slip up.
Maybe it is and we all figured it out because it happened at the very beginning of this episode.
Mm.
Crazy. Are you ready for a quiz?
Hang on, just let me adjust my pants. Yes, I've just put on my fancy pants.
Yes, they're your quiz pants that you wear every time that we quiz a lot. Now, don't forget that if you do have any quiz ideas, you can always send them in to us via thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Now, this one is called Was It a Book First?
Okay.
So what I did was I picked randomly out of the air TV shows or movies and then looked to see if they were actually books first.
All right.
So
makes sense.
We'll give it a whirl.
Sure.
First one, super easy. Little Women.
Book.
Book first from like the 30s, I think.
Mm.
Pretty early. This is, so the Little Women movie that we have now is the third version of Little Women movies. It's meant a lot. What about the Gremlins?
Gremlins was not a book first. It was a movie first.
So there is a Roald Dahl book from 1943 called The Gremlins.
Right.
It was published by Disney, funnily enough.
Okay.
Whilst the movie is, they say, loosely based on the book, it's not a proper adaptation.
So it's like when they did the Cat in the Hat movie.
Even less.
All right.
It's like, that was called The Gremlins or Weird Little Creatures. Oh, I've got an idea about a Weird Little Creatures movie. We'll call it The Gremlins as well. And that's how it's gone.
Does this previous one, does it feature Mogwai? Do we know? Because if they don't have like Gizmo Mogwais, then I don't know if
then
I can.
Then what's the point? I'd have to look it up again.
Anyway, well done, Roald Dahl.
Yeah, well done. He came up with everything, right?
No. Dr. Seuss came up with the word nerd.
Did he really?
Yep, and his real name is Theodore Geisel.
I do like the name
Isn't
Theodore.
Isn't it such a great name?
Brilliant. What about The Matrix?
I feel like that was a film first.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a book of that.
There isn't.
But there are many books that The Matrix directly copied.
Yeah, it was inspired by things. But no, there is not a book called The Matrix that they went, oh, let's make that.
Yeah.
No, it was the Wachowski siblings who came up with the idea. Party of Five.
That TV show.
Yeah.
It's got to be a TV show, right?
It was
right?
a TV show
yeah,
first.
I don't think there's a book of that, is
no.
it?
No. So the weird thing was, right?
Because in my head I'm like, Babysitter's Club? No.
Yeah, Babysitter's Club's a whole lot of books. So the Fox Entertainment Group's chairman said that it was actually initially intended to replace Beverly Hills 90210 because that show was in its fourth season. They thought it was probably coming to an end, so we better crack open a new one. I think it's, whilst it does share an audience, it's very different.
Oh, very different.
Very different. So, funnily enough, Beverly Hills hung around for 10 seasons. Maybe more. I can't remember. I didn't watch them all. All right, number two, Frozen.
Well, Frozen technically is based on the Snow Queen.
Correct.
But they ditched the adaptation elements.
Yeah. So, like,
it's a tough one to say, either way.
It's a kind of a sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bit like the Roald Dahl one. Yeah. Sort of.
Well, Elsa was originally the baddie.
Mm.
And much worse. Mm. And then they softened her up and made her.
I'm intrigued to see how she goes in this second episode, second movie.
I hope she lets it go.
Yeah, me too. All right. Finally, Grease.
I'm going to say a film first.
Yeah, I mean, it was never made into a book that I know of, but first it was actually a musical.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah. First performed in 1971 in Chicago because Danny was played in, I'm going to say Broadway, but in a production of Grease by, is it Kaniki? His friend, the one that Rizzo was going out with. So he played Danny first. And then the movie came around and they're like, do you want to be in Grease? He's like, yeah, I'll be Danny. And they're like, oh, no, we've got John Travolta. He's like, oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's how that happens then.
Never watched that whole way through. Tried. And then that song.
Which one? All of them?
No. That,
you mean the Mega Mix?
The Mega Mix. Yeah. Was it every school bloody disco I went to?
I think it's still at most weddings.
So I just don't. I can't. Yeah. I can't do it.
Well.
Shay watches it.
Oh, it's good fun. It is good fun. It is a lot of fun. And that quiz was a lot of fun and you did very well.
Thanks.
I enjoyed researching it.
I enjoyed doing that one. That was a good one.
If you've got any questions, any quiz ideas, like I said, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Tom, thank you very much.
Oh, well.